Back in August, I shared a story of growing up in the shadows of the confluence of the Ohio River, where the Monongahela, the Allegheny River come together. And the context of that was such that it was this hope to give us this visual where the secular parts of our lives, which we live Monday through Saturday, and the sacred parts of our lives, which we live Monday through Saturday, come together. It's God's plan that we don't live those parts separately, but there's a confluence of the two. On Sundays at the Sabbath, we come to worship, and we come to hear, and we come to read his word to help us bring those two together. But we talked about it in August in the context of individuality, of us personally. How does that confluence work in each of our lives individually? Today, as we finish up our upstream swim or wading or paddling or sailing, whichever means you're using to go upstream in your life, and when we get to the end of Romans, we see Paul talk to us about a different type of confluence, not as individuals, but corporately as a church, as a body of believers, as a faith family. So this coming together, this journey we've been on, I hope that you've enjoyed it. I have learned so much about myself, so much about what God asks of us as a church at the well, and all that he has for us. So we're going to continue to seek to discover what that looks like. We do it as individuals, yes, but we come together corporately because we're on mission together. See, the gospel, while it's meant to save us as individuals, moves us to the place where we recognize that it does more in us than just save us. See, God doesn't just save us from something. He sends us into something together. So we're in the water today together, and our upstream journey has led us to this place. The gospel is all about, if you haven't figured it out by now, movement. It's about moving from forgiveness to freedom, from freedom to fullness, and today from fullness to fruitfulness. Church, the gospel was never meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow through us. And if it's just something we hold on to, and we don't allow it to flow through us or to direct us or to take us where God would have us to go, to share with those who don't know him, then there's still pieces of the gospel that we're not understanding, that we've not grabbed hold of, that we've not allowed to change or transform us. Romans chapter 15. We'll be in Romans 15 and 16 today. The verses will not be on your screen, so we're going to have to use your Bibles, use your tablets, your phones, whatever devices you want to do. I want you to dive into God's word to find it, to see what we're talking about. We'll have some points behind me on the screen, but the scripture will not be on there today. If you don't have a Bible, see me after service. We will get you one or get you pointed in the right direction. But Paul's getting to the end of his letter to the church in Rome, this church that has gone through a lot of transition, has gone through a lot of persecution. They've dealt with the Roman emperor, kind of kicking the Jews out for a while, coming back. And we see this growing church with this mixed body of Jews and Gentiles coming together in one mission. Two different cultures, God bringing together for one purpose, to share the good news in the midst of empire itself, the very heart of empire this time, God's producing fruit. God's changing lives. And Paul writes in chapter 15, through verses 14 through 21, this is just a quick summary of them. Paul says, I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, competent to instruct one another, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, set apart for God's purposes, the offering of the Gentiles. Paul's not talking about money. Paul's not talking about the checks that we might write. The offering that Paul's referring to in this moment is their lives. To be on mission for what God has for his church in Rome. And Paul closes his letter in this moment by celebrating a church that's living on mission. Jews and Gentiles, once divided, now coming together as one stream, flowing in the direction as the Holy Spirit leads. Now, last week I spoke with you about a survey that we're going to make part of our service. It's going to be a little bit interactive. And if you have the QR code, we're going to show that here. If you have your smart devices, you like to use that, you can. There's some questions in the survey. We want to measure movement, because movement ultimately is how we're going to know if we're on mission together. We'll know by the fruit we produce. We understand that's part of it. But we also want to make sure that we're taking steps in the right direction. Now, if you don't have a smart device, you like a paper version, go ahead and raise your hand for me. If you like a paper version, can we get some help in the back? Where did Dean go? Just when I need Dean, he takes off on me. So, and where did Josh go? So I don't have, there we go. So Clint's going to help us out. We have some paper versions in the back. If you would keep your hands up for me, we'll bring you a paper version. You can fill that out throughout the service. They're on the middle console, Clint. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. I'll get on those guys later. I tell you, good help is so hard to find. They say the same thing about me, but it's okay. And there are a few questions, though, on the survey that you may not be ready to answer yet, because it's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning. So understand that that's coming, but this is going to help us kind of measure where we are. Measures are important, because we talk about new values. We talk about being people that are on mission. How do we know we're being successful? Our success, church, isn't measured in people in seats. While you are important if you're in a seat today, you matter. I'm glad you're here. Thank God you've chosen to worship with us today. The measure, though, we're really most important or most focused on is engagement. We want you to be engaged in what God has for you individually, but also engage in what God has for us corporately. So these measures we're going to be talking about now and in the months and years to come are meant to help us understand if we are on mission together. Because that's the full gospel. We experience salvation individually, we grow into sanctification, but then we become into this confluence that God does in us to help us become effective to grow his kingdom through his church. So Paul's closing his letter, he's celebrating a church that's living on mission. Jews and Gentiles coming together, flowing as one. That in itself is a big deal. But now they're getting focused on the mission. And now God has revealed through the words of Paul what that looks like and what they're to go and do and the human condition that they're to speak into and the hope that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul implores them to keep doing well. See, the mission is not to the world. The mission, rather, is to the world through the church. We're not just to go to the world. We're to do it together. We gather on Sundays because we need to do this together. We need accountability. We need encouragement. We need others around to celebrate with us, to grieve with us, to share the good and the not so good in our lives. We do this together because we're stronger, we're better, more complete together. We complement one another. We lift, we encourage, we compel. See, upstream people don't just resist the current. Together, we redirect it. Together, God begins to do something powerful and beautiful through us that we could not do on our own, taking us to places we could never get to by ourselves. As the Spirit's work produces movement in our lives, holiness then becomes a reality for us, and it overflows into the mission and purposes that God has already predefined for us. But holiness not described or known by the do-nots in our lives, but rather by the do's, the places that he sends us, the places, the people that he sends us to. That's what the Spirit is given to do. That's what we're empowered to go and to do, to speak into the lives of those who don't yet know him, people we wouldn't normally go to on our own. See, Paul, in his writing, describes his ministry in Romans 15 and 16 as a priestly duty. And not just preaching, that's part of it, but a priest was one in the Old Testament that brought the offering before God, brought the sacrifices before God in the temple and in the tabernacle in the wilderness. So Paul, referring to himself as fulfilling this priestly duty, he's presenting people to God as an offering. And I love this visual. It echoes in John chapter 17 when Christ is praying before his arrest and eventual crucifixion. And as he's praying before God, he doesn't offer to God evidence of the people that he's fed or all the people that he's healed or the miracles he's performed. He offers to God the Father the people that believe, the people that have come into relationship with Christ because they believe in who he is and why he's come. That's the offering that Jesus gives to the Father. Now, Paul echoes this in Romans chapter 15 and 16, giving back to God this offering. I'm 53 years old. I know I don't look it. Thank you for that. I'm just kidding. And I've got a lot of years left, so don't misunderstand me. But as far as ministry, because I'm on the backside, and I'm starting to think about how is this thing going to wrap up? Now, I've got 10, 12, you know, maybe good years left, maybe less than that, depending on how my kids treat me and how this mind up here keeps kind of sticking together. But I find myself in the last few years shifting gears when it comes to leading. Not always well, but I'm shifting gears. And our district superintendent referred to it once to me as second chapter leadership. Moving beyond this first chapter level of measurement in people and the size of your church and how much money your church brings in, and instead focusing on the offering that the priest would offer to God, people. And you're part of that. You're part of my offering that I get to offer back to the Father. And together, as we come together in mission, we're going to reach more people for the Father and speak into more lives and more marriages and more relationships and more children. That's the offering that really matters. I don't want to get to the end of my ministry, and while I'm very excited about what God's doing in our church in regards to indebtedness, it's a beautiful thing. It's not about the dollars. It's about the people. That hopefully the resources will allow us as we continue to be good stewards to reach and to minister to, and the ministries that God has for us is going to position us to be more effective. It's not about the building. I don't want to get done with my ministry and be about a building. I want to be about people. So Romans 15 and 16, Paul's getting to this place where here's my offering. So church, if that's me, and we are all part of the priesthood of believers, that's also you. What's your offering going to be? What are you going to present back to God? And it doesn't mean it has to be as a pastor, but there is part of what God is doing in you individually that as he brings us together corporately, he multiplies and does more in us than we could ever do on our own. That's why this missional thing is so important. That's why this coming together is so important. Why being unified in what God's doing is so important. By embracing our values as a faith family together is important because we're better together. We move forward. We're able to accomplish all that God has for us. The truth I want you to hear this morning is mission isn't an activity that we add to our faith. It's the natural current of a transformed life. It's who we just become as we move upstream. The upstream movement leads to missional responses in our faith. There's just no other output for that. That's just what happens. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." What's flowing from within you? What's coming out of you? Are you producing fruit? Are you engaged in the mission and the purpose God has for you? See, that's the gospel working itself out in you. At the same time, working itself out through you. We have to grow to the place where others matter, where they're the priority, where our offering is not something we get obsessed with, because if we're living it, it just happens. We don't have to beg Jesus to give us opportunities. He just does it because he desires it more than we do. What's flowing out of us? Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I'm not going to read all of those verses. But Paul reemphasizes in the first part of Romans 16 that we don't do this by ourselves. He reveals the importance and the power of partnering together and sharing the good news. In the first 16 verses of Romans chapter 16, Paul lists over 25 names of men and women and households and workers and encouragers and risk takers and those that are willing to give generously to the work of the kingdom, working together in ways some are aware of and some ways they're not aware of. So they might be in the same place, I may not be in the same place, but Paul lists them by name because they're part of the mission. Part of sharing the good news. That's his offering to God. As he's thanking God, he's telling church in Rome, these people matter because they're joining with me and multiplying and in sharing the good news and passing on the gospel. Each name represents a stream. Now, I talked about the Monongahela River. I lived about a half mile from what's called Prickett's Creek. Prickett's Creek flows right by my grandmother's house. And as a kid, I grew up on playing in Prickett's Creek, Prickett's Creek when I grew up, but you know, bear with me there. And Prickett's Creek flew down to where it met into the Monongahela River. And at that confluence, separate, smaller confluence, the confluence of Prickett's Creek and the Monongahela River, there stands a fort, Prickett's Fort. It was kind of a frontier fort in the late 1700s. As that area was beginning to be populated, and so my family's property estate kind of backs up to state property, if you will, where Prickett's Fort is. And then there's this confluence, this small stream, seemed insignificant, but the waters I played in Prickett's Creek flowed into the Mon River, which flowed north into Pittsburgh and joined with the Allegheny and formed the Ohio, which eventually flows and connects with the Mississippi, which flows down into the Gulf of Mexico. The waters I played in are in the Gulf of Mexico. That's how God works. He takes these small pieces and he connects them together, and eventually they become something much more significant than we would ever would experience on our own. You might be a stream, you might be a river, just don't be a lake. Don't be a pond. That water typically stagnant, doesn't go anywhere. We're about movement. That's the gospel. And church, if we're not moving, there's something significantly wrong in our understanding. And might I dare say, the good news isn't good. It has to move us. As we get to the end of this conversation, I just feel anxious and animated because this is so important in us being who God wants us to be. See, the gospel, this is not an original thought, moves at the speed of shared purpose, of friendship, and of trust. And when we come together and those three things unite, when we're together in purpose, we trust one another, and we're doing it because we like being together, wow. Now the waters really start flowing in the direction that the Spirit has for us. See, while the world prizes independence, the kingdom flows through interdependence. We need one another. I've talked to different people in my ministry over the last 20 years that say to me, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I've had a bad experience at church. I'm really sorry you've had a bad experience at church. And if I've been a part of that, I really do want to know. I want to help fix and mend that and heal that. But we can't live the good news life by ourselves. We need each other. Because there's going to be a moment, there's going to be a day where you struggle, you're down, and you're defeated, and we need to encourage and lift up one another. Like these creeks and streams, these tributaries that join together to form a river, every believer adds value and strength and giftedness to the mission that God has for us. While one stream may seem small, when they come together, they carve valleys and they shape landscapes. It moves the terrain. It changes the flow. And I'm frustrated because we're letting our culture change the flow of the church rather than church change the flow of our culture. And it has to stop because we have something our culture doesn't have, Holy Spirit. We don't use or lean into or trust or depend on Him enough. We want Him to do all the work, but He invites us in a mission to do it with us. Church, it's time to get moving. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes, we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. We are a body of believers here at the Well. We believe God's doing something in us that we can't do on our own. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, I thank my God because of your partnership, Mr. Paul's words, in the gospel. We're partners together in the gospel. This is what matters. It's not about our comfort. It's not about making life easy for one another. It's about the gospel. And Paul gets to the place in Romans where he ends where he began, with praise and with purpose. Verses 5 and 6 of Romans 15. May the God who gives endurance, hold on to that word here in just a moment, and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With one mind and one voice, we could become unified as we work together to grow His kingdom, to bear fruit, to reach your neighbor, to speak into the life of your coworker, for your children's friends, for your family members, so that we can do this together. The Spirit unites what sin divides, and here we see the gospel come full circle in Paul's letter to the church in Rome. He begins by acknowledging the human condition, our sin, and our need for grace and salvation. He then moves us from that moment to sanctification, to living life with and in the Spirit, not just forgiving our sins, saving us from our sins, but helping us overcome our desire to sin. And then the Spirit now, we talked about, moves us together in purpose and with this intentionality of living out the mission that He reveals to us. We know the commission Christ gives before He ascends, that we're to go and to make disciples. But we do that individually as churches missionally because each church has its own giftedness. We all have the same gift of the gospel, but we have giftedness in how we share that and how we help others recognize the transforming hope that the gospel brings. See, while the world thrives on competition, the Spirit calls us into cooperation. As we work together, God does something powerful and beautiful. Let me go back to John 17 for just a moment. Jesus' prayer is this: my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Jesus in John 17, verses 20 and 21, is praying for you. Those who will believe in me because of their message, of the message they're going to pass on. Aren't you glad the disciples took the message that Christ had poured into them, didn't just keep it to themselves? It would be a really short New Testament if it just stopped with the 12 apostles, disciples. But they went and shared it. And now you are a fruit. You're a product of that. I'm a product of that. Jesus is speaking to God about those who will believe. He continues, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be one. May they come together. Think about that. We understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three expressions of one entity, God the Father. Jesus says, as you and I are one, may they also be one. Multiple entities coming together with one purpose and one mission. And Paul doesn't stop there, though. He continues, may they also be in us. Why? The why is important. So that the world may believe that you've sent me. In my notes, this is highlighted red, because I think this might be the most important thing I want to say this morning. We're here today. We've gathered this morning. We're worshiping. We're hearing the word. We're praying together. Why? So that the world may believe. If we've lost sight of that, then church, I just implore that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak into you, because the good news can become even better in your lives when we get to the place where we truly desire that the world might believe. But how are they going to believe? We become the disciples that Jesus talks about in John 17. We now are stewards of the message. We now get to share so that as one, so that the world could know who he is. If we've lost that, if we've not yet grabbed a hold of that, then we're missing something. The upstream journeys led us here, this moment of corporate confluence. We've talked about moving from the fall to justification, from reconciliation to dying with and in Christ, the freedom we find in Christ to living life in the Spirit. Living life in the Spirit doesn't just mean everything's all great and I get to float around as if there's no problems in my life. Living life in the Spirit is I let the Spirit guide me into the lives of those who need what I have. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't have it all together, Pastor. My life's a mess. You think the people that God's going to send you to, their lives aren't a mess? They might need your mess. They might need to know that life's not hopeless when they're going through the same things that you're going through. God uses our stuff and our junk and our baggage and our messes and our failures to help others know who he is. While I know that's uncomfortable, and while it's not always easy to share, that's how God does his best work. Now we get to this place where as we live life in the Spirit, we live life together on mission to bring hope to those who've yet to believe. As we move upstream, we realize grace doesn't remove the current. Rather, together we help reverse it. When we breathe the Spirit, we don't just survive being in the waters. It's almost like we walk on the waters. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Spirit changes the direction of the waters. See, church, the confluence of grace, the secular and the sacred coming together in our lives, where individual upstream lives become one powerful river of mission, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. And we need that today. So I was trying to prayerfully consider how to wrap this series up. I've been praying about this conversation in Romans for months. And now to come to this moment where we're almost done, it's like, Lord, I need something to wrap this up. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to leave it short. I wanted it to be significant. And as I'm walking my dog, Sadie, I'm going to start a blog, Pastor Brian and Sadie, and these God conversations that we have together. Sometimes, I love my dog, Sadie, but sometimes I wish I'd named her Moron. Because that seems to be what I call her more often than Sadie. But it's in those moments with her that, I don't know why, but God speaks when I'm walking. And I'm thankful for it. But God reminded me of something this past week, and I wanted to share it with you. It kind of, this is what God does. 17 years ago, I was in my mid-30s, kind of going through an early midlife crisis and was not healthy, and I wanted to get healthy, so I had some people in my church and some other friends that were encouraging me to start working out, and as you can tell, it's really stuck with me over the years, and so I started going to the Y and working out on the elliptical and walking, and eventually worked my way up to a treadmill, started slow. Then I got to go outside. I had some friends that wanted to go for a jog, and I wasn't nearly up to where what they were doing, what they would call a jog, but we started to run together, and I had a friend named Evan and Sylvia, and there's some other friends that we worked out with, and they were runners. I wasn't yet, and I started to run with them, and my friend Evan had this great idea. Say, let's train for a half marathon. Thinking, dude, I just did 15 minutes on an elliptical. I don't think I'm quite there yet. But we worked toward it. It's not till the fall. Well, we got some time to work up to that. We got some time to train. And we started to train, and we registered for the Fall Foliage Half Marathon. And actually, it happened 16 years ago last week, which would make sense, right? Fall foliage kind of speaks for itself. And Evan and I registered for this race, and I trained. I'm not fast by any means, but I had gotten up to about 8, 9, 10 miles. Hadn't really run 13 yet, but I figured if you get to 10, I could walk the last three. You know, that shouldn't be that hard. And we went to the day of the race, and it was out in this little town called Eaton, Ohio, very flat, just like Marysville. And the course was an out-and-back kind of course. So you go out 6.5 miles, you come back 6.5 miles. It's pretty simple, pretty self-explanatory. And we start the race. And Evan and I are kind of running together, and the first couple miles we're heading south. It's just kind of slightly rolling hills, but we're shielded by some trees, a couple little hills here and there. And it wasn't too bad, kind of fun. If you ever ran a race, that adrenaline kind of kicks in, you're kind of feeling all right, and you're about 2 miles in, this isn't so bad. Get to mile 3.5, 4, it's like, okay, maybe this wasn't such a great idea. And we get to this point where we turn, we make a sharp right-hand turn, and we're running towards Lake Lachengren outside of Eaton, Ohio. And we make this right-hand turn, and we turn right into a 20-mile-per-hour headwind. You can imagine.
Against the wind. Against the wind. Against the wind.
There we go. We're running.
Against the wind.
Yes. It was hard.
We were running against the wind.
Painful.
We were young. Whoa. And strong, we were running.
And it's like, oh my word, Evan, what have you gotten me into? Out here in the middle of nowhere, running against the wind. And the wind is just howling, and it's not letting up. And I hadn't trained for this. And my run, now, I was in a run. I wasn't in a race. I was in a run. Got a whole lot more difficult. It was hard. But I wasn't alone. My friend Evan was running beside me. And he was struggling too. And we kept encouraging one another and pushing each other. And he looks over at me and says, Brian, I think it's time for some goo. Now, if you've ever been a runner, you kind of know what goo is. Goo is this energy gel that you can kind of keep in your pocket while you're running. And when you start to feel like you need a little bit extra boost, you kind of tear it open and you eat it while you're running. Doesn't taste very good, so I don't recommend it unless you're a runner. But so we pulled out the goo. And this is about mile 5, I pull out the goo. It takes about 10 minutes for it to really kick in. But when you're running, you feel it kick in. You do kind of feel it. You get this extra boost. So at about mile 6, I'm starting to starting to feel pretty good. And Evan and I have been jogging. There's this guy who's been in front of us. We would pass him, and then he would pass us, and we would pass him, and he would pass us. This is for a couple miles. And at first, it's not a big deal, but it starts to get frustrating. Right? You just can't move past somebody, or you just can't stay in front of them. And we got to about mile 6, and I just started to feel something. I said, Evan, let's pass this guy. Let's go. Let's take him. And I just took off. I merged into the passing lane, and I just took off. And I am feeling it. The goo is kicked in. It is like, woo, this is fun. And I get to mile 6. I can see the sign. It has like the timer sign. You got to turn around and head back the other way. I'm on the shores of Lake Lachengren. And I get to the sign. I turn around, and I'm looking over to my left and right, and there's no Evan. Where did he go? And I turn around, and Evan's 150 yards behind me. And I'm thinking, what happened to Evan? And as I pass him heading the other direction, he says, what happened? You want me to wait on you? He says, no, go. You've got it. You just keep on going. So he's encouraging me, and I take off. And now I realize something. That 24-hour headwind was now a tailwind. And all of a sudden, now it felt like this, church. Oh, here we go. Hit it. You've seen the show, right? Oh, I'm smiling now. I'm like, woo, this feels good. And I am just, relatively speaking, flying down the course at this moment. And if you've ever been a runner, you get to this like this runner's high. And it's this place where you're training and you're breathing and your energy consumption all comes together in this place where it actually feels good. You know, we've all ran where the side hurts and it's just uncomfortable. It starts to feel good. And I can't explain it because I don't experience it very often. But it felt good in this moment. And I had trained for this. So the next 2 miles, the wind was behind me, pushing me at a pace faster than I could possibly run on my own. Something for us in that. See, when the Spirit and the wind is behind us, we can do things we could never do on our own. Now my run was a race. Now I felt like there's something in this for me. And I got done, I finished the race with a negative split. And what that means is the second half of my run was faster than my first half. And I got done and I said, I just looked at Evan and said, man, I couldn't have done it without you. And then I couldn't have done it without my goo. I took a raspberry lemonade right before I got up here to speak. So about 5 minutes, this should really get interesting. So pay close attention, okay? I don't know where God's going to go, but this could be fun. I had Evan, I had the goo, and I had the wind. And church, that's the gospel. We need each other to encourage, to share, to speak into, to help us train, to help us become a disciple. We need salvation. We need to know that there's something more that we can't do on our own that we have to ingest. We have to accept. And even with all that, there's times we need the Spirit to lift us up, to help move us faster than we could ever move on our own. A week later, imagine my surprise, I got a package in the mail. I got a trophy. I got a trophy. Third place, male, 35 to 39. Yeah, you impressed? Don't be, there was only 5 of us. True story. I don't know if I was top half or bottom half, even to this day, I'm not sure. I keep the trophy not because I'm proud of being in third place. I keep it on my desk because it reminds me of what life is like against the wind and the difference it makes when I run with the wind. I spend a lot of time running against the wind. We call the Spirit the Holy Spirit. Stay with me for just a moment. And this is out of a devotional I read. This is not entirely unique, but I love how the dots connect. The Holy Spirit, by definition, blows in the direction of the holy. You with me? Conversely, when I'm living life against the wind, I'm moving in the direction of the unholy. I'm not going to dwell on drag and friction coefficient and kinetic energy, at least not today. We'll get to that soon enough because there's some beautiful learnings in that. But here's my takeaway for us. As we talk about this upstream, we're called to move against the direction of the unholy. And while that sounds intimidating and maybe overwhelming and scary, what I often forget when I say that to myself is that also means I'm moving in the direction of the holy. As the Spirit blows, as he leads, as he directs me. I needed a friend to get me started. We all do. You have someone in your life that has spoken the good news into you. You have an Evan in your life that helped you train and take that first step. But then you also have someone who introduced you to something more. As you've been compelled to practice and to start and to get moving, you came to this realization of your condition or how you were out of condition, out of shape. And you needed someone to help you with your condition, your human condition. Let me apply it spiritually. And you needed more. And the gospel became something that was shared with you. And the goo, you took it in as, yes, I want that. What I can't do on my own, I want that. I want the good news. I need the good news. And it helped you take these initial steps. But the gospel doesn't stop there. It's about movement. And you came to the place where you were living life against the wind and you realized it. You know you needed more. You needed the wind at your back. See, God doesn't just want us to run. He doesn't just want us to swim. He wants us to win. Don't just run. Race. Paul says, I've finished the race. And the Spirit's going to be faithful and pushing and lifting and propelling us against the current in a way that makes us want to invite others to come run with us. If you're not ready to ask others to run with you yet, what's stopping you? What's in the way? What's keeping you from sharing a little goo, the good news, with someone else in your life? What's preventing you from running with the Spirit? What are you afraid of losing and giving up? There's nothing worth in this world holding on to. Church, we're going to run towards the holy together. Together. Maybe your story has been upstream alone for too long. You've been struggling. You've been trying to swim. You've been drifting, going wherever the current takes you. I want you to know right now, if you don't have an Evan, you have a Pastor Brian who wants to come beside you and help you figure out those next steps. Maybe you've got those next steps, and you're trying to figure it out, and you've got someone you're walking with, someone who's speaking into your life, but maybe you haven't quite dealt with your human condition, the thing that separates you from God. May I remind you today that in John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave, whosoever believes will keep running. We'll have eternal life because we're going to keep pursuing him. And this is where our current can join with your current, and we're going to move in the same direction together. Church, God's Spirit is calling us not just to believe upstream, but to live upstream together. To bring the kingdom's current into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our city, into our workplaces. To step out of our cultural current and allow the Spirit to push us in God's holy direction. If you haven't finished your survey yet, now's the time. What is God doing in your life? How is he moving you? I do ask, could go without saying, but be honest. Be transparent. Help us know so that we can develop and formulate and prayerfully consider what God needs to do in us, what he's already doing in us. We're going to celebrate, but where we need to focus and work on, things we might need to provide and train and equip, we don't want to miss it. I don't leave you behind. Evan caught up. And actually what happened at the end of the race, I got done a few minutes before he did. I turned around and ran back out on the course and joined him and ran the last quarter, half mile with him. That's what we do. That's what the church does. No one gets left behind. We all get there. Where are you at? You're not alone. Got the gospel and the good news. And you got the wind at your back. What's stopping us? Do you stand with me? We pray for you. Father, I'm still at times, Lord, humbled and amazed that you look at me and you say he's worth it. You look at us and you sent your son still to die. You love us that deeply. You created us with intentionality. Each one of us has a story, and we have a gift. And I pray that we wouldn't allow Satan, even right now, as he's whispering, not you. That's not true. Each one of us has something to give. And as you bring us together, Lord, we become something much bigger and stronger and more powerful than we could ever be on our own. Not because even in our corporate strength, Lord, because of your Spirit. Father, I pray for the well. Our community is growing. We're seeing the diversity expand. The opportunities for us to share the good news have never been greater in Marysville, Ohio. And I pray, Lord, as you prayed in John 17, that we would share the message so that others may believe. for your glory and for your kingdom. God, may the good news truly be good in our lives today. If it's not, will your Spirit be faithful in showing us what's missing? Compel us, Father. Add to our stories. Bring Evans into our life. If we're running against the wind, Father, may we just admit it. Have that honest conversation with you. Turn around. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Father, for your grace, for the gospel, for trusting us, Lord, to be stewards of this good news. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray today. Amen. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in his power upstream. Make a difference. God bless you. Finish the race.